That's right, folks. It's time for the Nerdy Point of View podcast, where we explore the nerdier side of life via random topics that we come up with and discuss for your entertainment. I'm one of your hosts, the literal worst, Brian Penaloza. With me today is the pun master herself, Carrie Lyons.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a special guest today. We have the overly positive nerd, Maddie.
Hey, how's it going?
Unfortunately, Martin could not make the show again today due to some other just stuff going on. Life gets in the way sometimes, but the show must go on. So he told us to go ahead and record without him. Don't forget, we are also sponsored by DiceBard. Go to DiceBard.com. Check out their outstanding selection of dice. They got the glow-in-the-dark dice for just $10. My favorite set of dice, the rainbow dice at $20. And if you like metal, they've got you covered there as well for just $25. Plus many more styles and colors. DiceBard has everything you need to play Dungeons & Dragons if all you need is dice. And of course, don't forget to use the discount code NERDY for free expedited shipping on your order. With that, let's jump into our topics. And I thought, since we have a guest today, let's go with your topic first, Maddie.
Okay. Well, so my topic is basically, I was wondering how you guys... because we're all big D&D players and D&D watchers and D&D lovers and other RPGs. So I was wondering how invested, like whether it's emotionally or otherwise, do you all get in your RPG characters?
All right, Kara, do you want to take that to start?
Sure. Honestly... before I started playing D&D online with a bunch of you guys and the Thread Raiders and everyone, I did not get nearly as attached as I am now. It was before just more... I got about as attached to them as I got attached to my Fallout character, which just isn't much considering I have like 5 of them. And and but now, like ever since playing Mal and even Ilana, like it's... getting to a point, especially with Mal, like I have become so attached with Mal that when I thought that she was possibly going to die in our Threads of Fate campaign, I was devastated. And I just, I told Quinn, he told me to make a backup character. And I told him, I said, no, because if I make a backup character, that means I'm opening up the idea that Mal's going to die. And I just did not want to do that. And I'm not going to jinx that shit.
Yeah, that's the funny thing I've always thought about backup characters is I've always felt the same way, that it's like kind of a jinx, you know? Mm-hmm. I know it's a very popular thing to do. A lot of people do roll backup characters just in case, just to be prepared. But yeah, no, I kind of have always felt the same way about that.
Yeah, and well, with us in our game, I mean, Quinn basically told us all like at the end of one of our sessions, like, you guys should definitely make some backup characters before next week's game. And we're like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
No.
Turned out I needed my backup characters. So,
which, oh my God, the look on Quinn's face when that happened.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And the... honestly, I think it's really interesting how, I mean, I know that I'm super emotionally invested in my character Noakes, but seeing the response of the other players and the DM and the audience was crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that adds an... extra kind of level of attachment too. I mean, it's one thing when you're playing your game in private and, you know, it's you and your friends and your characters. But I think it's a whole nother thing when you create a character and that character ends up beloved by others, you know, ends up being like a popular character that's being performed for other people. I think it might add another layer of attachment there that otherwise wouldn't necessarily be there.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah. Because it is literally, you know, we're putting on we're playing a game, but we're putting on a show just at this, you know, all at the same time. And yeah, I think also a big part of it was the fact that before before making Noakes, I never wrote a backstory for a character ever.
Oh my god.
That's just not what I did. You know, like, I would have a concept and I would I would know where he came from and whatnot, but I'd never write it out and then like post and then have it posted online for someone else to read it. So that was another big level where I put all this energy into making this character and coming up with a voice and a personality and everything like that to make him unique that it, yeah, I mean, it's, so it is, it is very much because it is part of the show, but it's also just how much time and effort I've actually put into that character. To where I was just, you know, just the idea of him dying, you know, in the earlier games where Quinn was like, you might need a backup character next game. just hearing that just like was like a dagger in my heart. So the feeling when he actually died,
was like, oh. I know, I was just sitting there stunned. Like, I was looking back at that scene myself and like, I'm just sitting there, like, quiet and not even really, like, reacting at all because I'm just like, no, this isn't real. Like, Quinn's about to say something that tells us, no, he's okay. Noakes isn't dead. There's no, not Noakes. Yeah. And then as, like, it started to become reality, then my brain started switching gears and I'm like, okay, how can I fix this? nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing I could do. But, like, I see your point about the backstory thing, though, because, I mean, I've always written backstory for my characters to the point where, like, my DMs hated me because they didn't like taking the time to read it.
Oh, right.
And yeah. That's, like, I think a big part of it, though, is it was something that the DMs would reward bonus XP for, but they never took the backstory and merged it with the plot that they had in mind. Whereas Quinn, he does that. And I think, again, that's another reason why it becomes so much more attached, because the backstory becomes much more tangent with the game. Whereas before, it was just something for you to help develop, I guess, the character.
Yeah. And he does. He really took all of our backstories into account and really merged them with the game and made it very, very real for all of us.
Yeah. No, I so appreciated that. And I really loved what he did with it, actually. The whole, like, Noakes, Fathrus, and Mal thing. And, yeah, no, I'm just really excited to see where this goes right now, even though without Noakes.
I know. I'm just like, you know, we'll have to see what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, like, I'm not so... No, exactly. But that's what's crazy. It's like I'm not even just attached to my character. I've become attached to your guys' characters as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is very strange to me, too. Not that I've never... I don't know. When I used to play, as you know, in high school and stuff, we were just playing, you know? It wasn't... I mean, we liked our characters and stuff, but we didn't really put too much energy into it. It was just something that we do on the weekends and, you know, after school and stuff. But I don't know, it's so much different now. So,
yeah.
How about you, Bear?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing, I was really just kind of learning. I mean, you know, this was only like 2 years ago at this point. And, you know, I do have a special fondness for my first character who did manage to get to level 20. But I remember when he died, it was a just kind of a crazy moment. It was just kind of like, you know, he had survived so much up to that point. Out of our entire group, only three of our original characters had made it to that point. And so it was just kind of like, oh, fuck, this is happening. And it's funny because Quinn is my local DM as well. And that same face he made when Noakes died was the same face he made when he realized he had to kill me. And aww. We ended up having to end the session after that because he was so emotionally distraught at having to kill my character. But, you know, I think beyond just having like an emotional investment in our characters, like just, you know, I kind of get an emotional investment in the game, and I think a lot of it is because I do try to really embody whatever character I'm playing. And I haven't been like super attached to every character that I've created, but I've really been trying to kind of just build fun characters that, you know, I really want to inhabit. And especially now that I'm doing it in front of an audience, I feel a little bit more attached than otherwise I probably would. Though this is actually more recently is like the first time I've really had an idea for a backup character before my character dies. And it's only because I just got hit with a bolt of inspiration, which if you know the character that I'm thinking of, the pun is not intended there, I swear.
I will accept it and love it anyways.
Okay, I'm sure you will. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I get really invested in the game because it's, you know, especially with Quinn's DMing style, I can't speak for every style. And I've played under a good handful of DMs at this point. Just from guesting on various things or, you know, being allowed to guest on even a private game one time. You know, there are some DM styles lend better to an emotional investment than others. And I think you guys are right. Like, you know, the way Quinn does it, where he really incorporates your backstory and it really helps breathe life into the character as almost like a living, breathing entity rather than this, you know, just stat block on a piece of paper. I think that really helps kind of get invested in these characters the way that we all have. You know, we've all been pretty fortunate to be able to play in a game that Quinn DMs. And I know when he listens to this, he's probably going to blush hardcore. Or not. You never know with him. But
yeah, that's true.
You know, I do think that a lot of the investment comes from the way an entire group comes together, from the, you know, the way a DM DMs to the way the players play. And if you find that group that gels really well and gets along really well and like really buys into the story, then you're going to get that emotional investment.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like just how I mesh with the Threads of Fate crew and then the Galactic Mistakes crew, which is our Star Wars campaign for people out there who don't know. And like just, I mesh so well with you guys. And last night's Star Wars game with that fight scene that we had against the pirates, like that just to me spoke so many volumes to just how well we meshed together. And like we're just so well-rounded and everything, I don't know, like I felt instantly comfortable with you guys, and same with the Threads of Fate crew. And I think when you feel comfortable with the people around you, it's a little bit easier to feel more comfortable getting into your character.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. So I think that kind of covers that. Maddie, thank you for bringing that topic to us.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool thing to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Probably jump into my topic next, which is, it's it's a very me kind of topic. And I had trouble wording it. I think I kind of got it narrowed down to like the gist of it. But essentially, like, what's a thing that's normal for most people that for you is just like a no-go? Like, you just can't do it. And as an example, I know I kind of shot it at you a little bit before, but like most people, especially in San Diego, totally cool with wearing shorts. For me, I don't own a single pair of shorts. I cannot do it. I don't like the feel of the breeze on my legs. It has nothing to do with like being self-conscious or like anything like that, or being like, oh God, I look so gross in shorts. It's just, I, for whatever fucking reason, I can't fully explain it. I just hate shorts so goddamn much.
That's just so funny because you are literally in California, like one of the hottest places to be living in the States.
Like, it gets like, you know, 110 degrees Fahrenheit over here. The weather, you know, the heat is no fucking joke, and I will still be wearing jeans.
See, I used to be the same way. Like, I never, ever wore shorts. I think that's only changed actually in the last couple years, and that's more like if I'm just hanging around the house. But like same thing, like if I go out, a lot of the time it is like jeans or like black stretch pants or something like that. And but for me, that's just because I don't like the girl fashion of shorts. Everything is just keeps getting shorter and shorter, and I was one of those people that liked the long baggy shorts, which is just, I literally, like, my pair of shorts that I got last year were from the little boy sections at Sears. That's what I have to do, people.
Oh dear. That's funny. But honestly, though, I mean, I love wearing shorts. And it's one of those things, you know, living in Idaho that, you know, during the winter months, it's a no-go. But as spring hits, summer, fall, I just like the, you know, having the extra pockets for carrying, like, you know, my phone and things like that, because I hate putting my phone into my jeans pocket. But the shorts that I do buy, I am very particular about. They have to be like the long messenger shorts.
Yes.
That basically cover my knees. And being, you know, a hair over 6'2", it's not easy finding shorts that will go down past my knees. So there's like a specific brand at Kohl's that I buy new shorts every year. And that's what I wear all summer long. And I won't even put on my jeans. But I understand. I used to have a problem wearing shorts, but that's only because I'm really white. I'm like so white. And,
I get you.
And so, you know, like, and I don't tan easily at all. When I was in junior high school, I used to get picked on for having really white legs, you know, and at the time I was really, really skinny too. So, they called me string bean and literally I had this guy, in one of my classes look at me and go, "Damn, string bean, you got some white ass legs." So after that, I really didn't like wearing shorts for a long time. But then after a while, you get older and you just don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. See, in Canada, nobody can make fun of you for having pale ass legs for about like 6 months of the year. Everybody does.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm like, and a lot of people envy it. I actually am the opposite. But a lot of people, because I have a very natural tan, I'm half Mexican, which a lot of people don't know about me, because I'm a pretty pale half Mexican, but put me out in the sun for any period of time and I get like golden brown, and I am personally one of the few people I know that just does not appreciate a good tan. I'm just like, God, I'm brown now. Not that I have a problem with like being brown or anything like that, but I don't know. I never liked being tan for whatever reason. Like, probably because I just have an aversion to sunlight. Like, I fucking hiss when I'm out there and sunlight is, like, hitting me. Which is probably why I have a vitamin D deficiency.
No.
Like, literally, I've had labs taken, you know, to see, like, how fucking sick and horrible I am. And they're like, yeah, everything's great. Your cholesterol's great. Like, everything's bitching. Even your potassium's good, even though I hate like bananas and other potassium enriched foods. They're like, but the one thing is vitamin D deficiency. I'm like, yeah, makes sense.
But actually, this is a great segue into my answer. Speaking of deficiencies, my mundane thing, and I know Sam is gonna like bitch me out for this, but water, drinking water.
Oh,
like the literal most normal thing for people to do, considering it's how you stay alive.
Yeah, I know, but like I hate drinking water, and it's not even just like a hate, like a dislike thing. It's if I drink water, I will actually feel sick.
Wow.
It's so weird, and like I've tried a lot of different things to try and get that water intake, because my doctors give me so much shit for it, including my friend Sam, who on my birthday actually delivered like a 12-pack of water to me. Maybe I don't drink enough water. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's water in coffee and pop, technically, but just doesn't quite count. So last Christmas, I actually asked for a SodaStream because one of my doctors told me that even though you don't get like the full water intake from carbonated water as you normally would from just drinking water, you still get water from it. Yeah. Which for years I was told, no, the carbonation process takes it all out. Okay, well, no, you're wrong. Fuck off.
I mean, that doesn't make sense. How would that even work? Like, how would carbonation get rid of all the water out of water?
That's what it didn't make sense. No, I'm like, whatever, whatever, sure. You probably read it on Facebook or something, but.
I'm really concerned about, like, the science of Canada.
What's that?
I'm really concerned about the science of Canada.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned for our education system. I mean, I love Canada. You guys are great. I love you. But yeah, no, like, and so ever since I got the Soda Stream, though, like, I've noticed definitely, like, I'm not nearly as dehydrated as I used to be, and I definitely feel not as sickish just drinking, you know, coffee and pop all day, because, like, I used to drink about 10 plus cups of coffee a day.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah, and that's not including, like, the Coke that I eventually would switch to. And, yeah, so I was going crazy, and, it was definitely causing, like, a few health concerns and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, I need to, like, do something here at least, I guess.
So, yeah. You're telling me that only drinking coffee and soda is actually not good for you at all.
Yeah, I know. Shocker, right?
I mean, I'm floored.
I mean, I was almost as shocked when they told me smoking was bad for me. All those people, countless. I was like, what? Holy shit.
Why didn't anybody warn me?
Right? I was like Dennis Leary said, I thought these things were pulled with vitamin C and shit. Oh, fuck. Yeah, what about you, Maddie? Hilarious.
Well, I would like to say that I practically all I drink is water. So for me, the thing that most people find totally okay and I cannot stand is basically anything with vinegar. Anything. Like, except for, like, maybe, like, if there's some vinegar in a mayonnaise, because, I don't know, mayonnaise is, like, one of my basic food groups, but...
Yeah, mayonnaise is life.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, seriously, like, ketchup, mustard, vinegar, pickles, all,
what?
I mean, anything like that, like, no.
Yes!
Maddie, no! Crap. You're just breaking my heart.
Pickles are the fucking worst. I love you, Maddie.
Pickles are the best.
They're the worst, dude.
Where's
I'm
Quinn?
Sorry.
God damn it. I need him to help me defend pickles.
But, and it's funny because, like, I mean, my, you know, my family here, like, they are crazy about, like, their pickles and vinegar-based everything. Like, even they use that vinegar-based hot sauces, you know? And I'm like, I can't do it. You know, whether it's, like, the, like, Mark loves Cholula, you know? And I just think it's got too much vinegar. So, like, if I want to put hot sauce, like, on my eggs or something, I buy that the Taco Bell hot sauce in a bottle from the store.
Wait, you can buy that in a bottle?
Yeah, you can buy it in a bottle. They sell the mild sauce and the hot sauce. Like,
oh, my God, I need to find this.
Yeah, so, yeah, if your store sells, like, well, I can't say that because, I mean, we have a store... Only like the Wal. I think I can only find it at the Walmarts here. They don't have them at the Fred Meyers, but so I just put some of that on my eggs, you know, because it doesn't have all that vinegar in it. I've tried the other stuff, and it's just oh God, just even the thought of it just makes me want to just gag.
See, and that you have no idea. I think actually Bear and I or Brian, we were just having this conversation the other night, actually. Mm-hmm. I love vinegar on everything. Like, I put, like, my dad got me started on this very young. Like, I put vinegar on my plain chips. Oh. Like, I'll put a little bit of vinegar, shake it up, drain the excess vinegar, and it is so fucking good. Like, I put vinegar on my cucumbers. Like, I'll just make a little bowl of vinegar, put some sliced cucumbers in. It's delicious. And when I was a kid, I don't do this anymore, but I used to put vinegar on my chicken.
Okay. That's just wrong. No, but at the same time, like, I could see that being totally normal if, like, that's how you're brought up. Because honestly, I think part of my aversion probably comes from how I was raised. You know, my mom hated like mustard and ketchup. So literally, she, you know, like if we had fries at the restaurant or something like that, like she would dip her fries in mayonnaise. And I love that. You know, like I put mayonnaise on everything.
See, and that's an unheard of thing in Canada.
And
what, mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise with fries, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a thing I would do either, so.
It's so good. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, if there's no ranch available, like, yeah, I'm all about the mayonnaise because I ain't putting that in ketchup. The only thing that I will put ketchup on is a hot dog, and and that's only a little bit. Like, I'll literally, like, just put a few drops on the bun and then just spread it on one side, and that's it.
See, I drown chicken tenders in ketchup. Like, they gotta send chicken tender fucking lifeguards to come save those bitches because, yeah.
I don't do ketchup with my chicken fingers. It's all gotta be about that barbecue sauce for me.
Oh, no, and I'll eat chicken tenders with mayonnaise too. You know, like
okay, Matt.
Yeah.
I love you, buddy, but I think we have to have a mayonnaise intervention here. Yeah.
I mean, you're giving me shit about vinegar on chicken, but I mean...
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, like, the whole idea of putting vinegar on anything is disgusting, but, like, I get it. You know, like, I understand it because I will put mayonnaise on just about anything. And I know that is really bizarre, and there are a lot of people who really just hate mayonnaise, you know? But, yeah.
My, brother's girlfriend was obsessed with I thought it was mayonnaise at first, but it was actually ketchup. She used to put it on her lemon meringue pie.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Yeah, ketchup on lemon meringue pie. I'm not even joking. She put that shit on it. She would get an Italian poutine and put ketchup on it.
I mean, that's a lot of words I don't understand, so.
An Italian poutine is literally like fries with a meaty, like, tomato sauce on it.
Yeah, in the States, we bastardize it and call it poutine, but yeah, I love that stuff. Yum, yum, yum.
It is, yeah, so good. Except there's one place in Brockville, or outside of Brockville, I will never get it again. They literally took tomato soup and poured it on fries.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Like, no meat, no cheese, no anything. It was just tomato soup. And, yep, they were like, oh, well, people were complaining that we were putting meat in it. And I'm like, who the fuck?
Who cares?
Yeah, they clearly have never had carne asada fries.
Oh, my God.
Which, incidentally, you can keep your fucking gravy cheese curd fries, and I will keep my carne asada fries. I'm good with that.
That's deal. Fine. I love my poutine.
You've never had carne asada fries, so...
It's true, though. But you've never had a real Canadian poutine, either.
I could get one here somewhere. There's a couple real, places.
It has to be cheese curd. It can't just be any kind of cheese. It has to be cheese curd.
Yes. I live in San Diego. We literally have, like, any kind of food you can think of here, and it's always, like, legit. Because
it better be.
With, like, San Diego as, like, a military town and stuff like that, like, we get people from all fucking different kind of cultures... who pop, you know, and stop through here. And, like, a lot of people internationally settle here. And as such, we have a very rich food environment here, including puttin' or whatever the hell you call it.
What?
Puttin'.
Puttin'?
That's funny.
Yeah, puttin' in your fucking moose steaks.
Oh, God. Puttin'.
Puttin'.
Sure. Let's just go with that. Because you family? Probably will be putting after.
I don't even know what the fuck that means. Was that even a real sentence?
Yes. Like, farting.
I guess.
Oh. there we are. Like,
this whole food thing is another great segue into my topic for today.
You totally jacked my line. I do the segues here, damn it.
Not today.
Fine, you know what? You can do the outro for the show, too. I'm just going to fucking lean back and just let this happen. So,
you do not want me to be the outro.
You are the de facto host. Good luck.
All right. Hey, everybody. The rest of the podcast is going to be done in songs and puns.
Yes.
You just hear my headphones getting thrown on the desk. You hear a door slamming. You hear a car starting up and screeching off into the distance.
Oh, my God. Oh, worth it. No, but yeah, my topic for today is not musically inclined at all, luckily. It is, what is your drunk fast food place of choice? And Maddie as the guest, yeah, yes. what would
your answer? Well, I would have to say, and I don't really get all that drunk and go eat fast food anymore. I am 41 and married, but when I did, usually the go-to was usually Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Because they were always open like 24 hours. Yep. So no matter how late you were done, party until, it was always open. And when you're super drunk, who does not want like a big greasy cheeseburger?
Oh my God, yes.
Plus they have breakfast burgers all day long too.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And, and the fries and all that ranch.
The seasoned curly fries.
Oh yeah. And they have like the legit good ranch dip, Some places are really lacking, I'm talking to you, Carl's Jr.
calling him out, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the buttermilk ranch, right?
Yes, yeah. The buttermilk. Where now they actually put on it, it still says buttermilk, buttermilk dipping, whatever, but now it literally says in parentheses ranch on it. back in the day, it just said buttermilk, whatever.
Fucking sellouts.
Yeah. But that's some legit good stuff. Though, if it was still open at the time, especially because it was usually like real nearby, it would be Taco Bell also,
Yes.
Because who doesn't love Taco Bell?
Oh man, Taco Bell was my like illicit substance food.
Oh yes, I know what you mean.
Say no to drugs, kids.
Say no more.
I gotta agree with you about Jack in the Box though, and like Jack in the Box is actually based out of San Diego. Their corporate office I used to drive by every single day. It was on my route when I was a delivery driver, and as such, Jack in the Box is like on every fucking corner in San Diego. Like you could throw a rock and hit a Jack in the Box here, which was always great because this is how much I agree with you about Jack in the Box. This is gonna be one of my less flattering stories. I got really drunk and I got in a fight with a friend, and he was pushing my buttons until finally he made me swing on him, and he moved out of the way and I punched a cactus.
Oh.
And not one of the ones with like the tiny needles, the ones with like the really thick like fucking like sewing needles. And I just got a fistful of fucking needles, and some friends rolled up on me and they're like, "Hey, we're going to go get Jack in the Box. You want some?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's do this." And I got in the back of the car with a fistful of fucking cactus needles and went to Jack in the Box because I was really, really drunk.
That's hilarious. And it's sad all at the same time.
Oh, God, that's not my saddest story.
Oh, I believe that.
That was a very mild. That was on the tail end of like the dark days, as I call them.
Right.
But Jack in the Box is the greatest drunk. Well, one of the greatest drunk foods. For me, like, the greatest, though, is always pizza, because you can have that shit delivered. It was usually Pizza Hut, and the pizza delivery people would always love me to death because I would get really, really drunk and play Rock Band. And, like, when I say I would get really, really drunk, I would mean that I would have a microphone in one hand and I would have a handle of vodka in the other hand. That handle of vodka did not leave my grasp. That was my personal bottle. And then I would have another handle of vodka for the rest of the party. And then I would order pizza, and I would tip the pizza guy like fucking $20, depending on how drunk I was. Like, the more drunk I was, the better the tip was, because the more important that pizza person became to my life.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And, yeah, oh, God, pizza. Back then, pizza was the best. These days, it just gets me really, really, really sick. Sadly, I'm getting older, and my tolerance for such things not as fantastic. My alcohol tolerance is fucking awesome. That still top fucking notch. I could drink a half a bottle of bourbon, be A-okay, but you couple the pizza with it, probably gonna get sick.
Yeah, by the sounds of that, I can't understand why your stomach might be a little upset at food. Packing away that much liquor. Bourbon. No, that's what I mean. Loves the bourbon, but just with how much bourbon you've had over the years, you know, like, it's just like, no, bourbon or nothing else.
Oh, Jesus. I just thought about how much bourbon I must have had over the years, and oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I'm actually, like, staring off into space and just, like, envisioning how many swimming pools of bourbon I've probably drank. And it's also a damn shame, because if I could fill a swimming pool with bourbon as much as it would probably burn to dive into, I kind of want to dive in mouth first.
I am not a big bourbon fan. I can handle it, like, if it's like a really good bourbon, like a really, really smooth bourbon, but no, I'm more a vodka guy, you know.
That used to be my drink of choice.
Yeah. Yep, that's why I can drink it, but I will make a face every time. Right, like, it just tastes like regret and hangover.
I used to start my night with 10-ounce shooters of 100-proof vodka, and then just carry on from there.
See, mine was gin. I could just sit there and shoot gin back like nothing.
Speaking of carrying on, Carrie, what's your favorite drunk fast food place? I'm sure it's like Moose Burger or something like that.
It is not. Funny guy. I mean, obviously, I want to say Taco Bell, but because my city hasn't had a fucking Taco Bell in forever, I just haven't had that opportunity to eat it drunk. That's but so sad. I'm so sad about this. But one thing I have to say is, when I was in college, my drunk place of choice without fail every time was Denny's. It was amazing. Like, we would get out of the bars, we would hit my friend's place. She lived with the Sewer Rats. It was an Ottawa punk band, and they would like jam out and practice. We'd play like Super Nintendo games while they did that, and then when they were done practicing, we would load up into the van and hit Denny's. And it was just, I mean, breakfast food at like 3 a.m. You cannot, like, I love breakfast food, especially if I don't have to get up for breakfast to eat it. And it's the best. And then when Denny's became, like, liquor licensed, I was like, oh, this is now officially my favorite place. But then I moved back to Brockville, and we don't even have a Denny's here. So one thing that did become a habit.
What do you have, like?
We have countless places that you can get pizza and fast food burgers at. Like, we have almost every burger joint that's, like, common in Canada. So, like, Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, Harvey's, A&W. We have all those. Okay. And, yeah, and then we have, like, a two-for-one pizza, Pizza Pizza, Domino's, Pizza Hut, and then a few, like, private companies and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you want, like, more choices than pizza or burgers, you're not finding much. Except Chinese food, I guess. So when I moved back to Brockville, McDonald's became our place. And that's because, depending on who was working, most of the time they would let you walk through the drive-thru. because the restaurant part was closed. They would only have the drive-through open at nighttime. So I would walk through, and I would every single time get my grilled cheese from McDonald's, which is nothing fancy. It is literally two of their hamburger buns with cheese in the middle fried, and that is it. But I would get like three of those and just fucking eat them.
Why did you get it without the meat, though?
Well, I mean, I was hoping to... Never mind. I was going to take that to a guttery place, but...
Well, luckily for you, you got just enough out that our imaginations were able to do the rest.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's no pineapple fucking, but it's something.
Do you like the filter? I inputted a filter, and it's still, you know, kind of adjusting.
Yeah. You might want to tweak that.
No, I don't. This is exactly where I like it.
Oh, God. Yeah, but like your reason for like Denny's, as far as like the breakfast food, that's exactly why I like Jack in the Box as one of my favorite drunk fast food eateries. Because I always get the breakfast Jack, and I would get like fucking, well, so when I'm drunk, I will order way too much food, way more than I could ever possibly eat. So I'll go through it. Yep. I'll be like, yeah, I want 10 breakfast Jacks.
Oh my God.
And they get so mad at me.
I get the lumberjack breakfast every time.
Oh, that's really good. That's the one with like the ham steak, right?
No, it's the, at least in Canada anyways, it's the one where you get like the eggs, the bacon, the sausage, the toast, and then you also get pancakes on the side.
I think ours came for the ham steak.
Oh. I don't know if I want that.
Oh, it's so like good.
Ham. Yeah, like I like steak, but I'm just not very big on ham.
It's so good.
Need a moment?
Yes, wow. As a matter of fact.
Dang, Bri. I had no idea you had such such feelings for ham.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm not really big on ham. In general, but something about those ham steaks is just delightful.
and that's not a word that I hear you say very often.
No.
I enjoy the word delightful. I really should start using it more.
You should.
I really should. It's a good word.
It is a word. That is for that is certain.
Yeah. Yeah. So today our episode is brought to you by Delightful. Use it today in a sentence.
Oh, I thought you were doing the outro for it for me.
Oh, is that what I'm doing? Because I told you, you're going to regret if you let me do it.
Oh, by all means. Let's ride this train off the fucking rails. Let's see what happens. Let's hit a wall.
Holy shit. I don't even know what I'm doing, but okay. How do you end this shit? With a song? No. I mean, obviously, I'm going to thank Maddie today for being on the show. And, you know, I just think I don't want to hog the glory and all the limelight today. So I'm going to pass it back to Brian.
Oh, is that what's happening? It's not because you have no idea how to end the show, even though we're cumulatively almost 20 episodes in and you've heard me do this a number of times.
I still have. And I probably could do it, but I just, no.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today at the Nerdy Point of View podcast. As always, you can find me at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. I am the co-founder of Soul Bear Productions, which you can find at Soul Bear Prod on Twitter. Between those two accounts, you can find everything I'm doing on the internet. Carrie, where can we find you on the internet and what are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter, DeviantArt, Instagram, and just about anything under the name Shriekee. That's S-H-R-I-E-K-E-E. I'm doing the Threads of Fate campaign, Curse of Strahd, with actually Maddie on Fridays at 4 p.m. PST or 7 p.m. EST. And then we also have our Star Wars campaign, The Galactic Mistakes, on Saturday at 9 p.m. EST. And God, there's probably more. And Maddie, actually, you're going to be doing a Vampire the Masquerade campaign coming up, won't you?
I'm going to be doing one shots. And you, the two of you are going to be appearing in the first one shot. And hopefully that will be sooner rather than later.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Doing a lot of writing.
Speaking of the things that you're working on, Maddie, where on the internet can we find you? What else are you working on?
Segway.
You can find me at So Maddie Games with a Z at the end at Twitter. I also, like Carrie said, I'm in Threads of Fates. I'm also working on, what do you call it? I'm guest DMing for the Staggering Dragon. Which you can find them at twitch.tv/staggeringdragon. And that'll be the first Wednesday of every month. But even when it's not the first Wednesday, you can still go in there. Our very own Martin here has been part of some of those games, so go check them out. Yeah. And I'm also still one of the members of the Thread Raiders, and we have a lot of interesting stuff happening. Check them out.
Right on.
Fantastic. Don't forget, you can find the show on Twitter as well at NerdyPOV, and check out all of our new episodes and our legacy episodes at nerdypointofview.com, where you can also hit the contact us page, send us some topic ideas, just say hi, you know, whatever it is you want to do. Make sure to also check out our Facebook page and join our growing Facebook community as well. We even have a Discord channel if you're into that sort of thing. Reach out to the podcast on Twitter and we will make sure you get that link. Of course, if you liked what you heard today, it helps us out big time if you could leave us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. We're a small show. We'd like to become a bigger show, bring even more quality entertainment to your ear holes. And the best way for us to be able to do that is for you to give us that nice review. Plus, you know, it's a nice little confidence booster. Podcasting is hard, creating content is hard, and your kind words really help us out. With that, we do have our community shout out today, and I'd like to give that to Penance RPG. Penance RPG is an old friend of mine. I think from when I first started D&D Twitter, probably one of the first groups I ever talked to. Mm-hmm. They're putting out some really cool RPG content. RPGs in podcast form. They're really funny. They're just good people. They're really funny. Based out of the UK. You can find them on Twitter at Penance RPG. That's PENANCERPG. They also have a Patreon page, which is patreon.com/PenanceRPG. And you can find their podcasts at penancerpg.libsyn. That's LIBSYN.com. Definitely, at the very least, make sure to give them that follow on Twitter. Say hi. Tell them I sent you. Just great people. Super friendly. Super nice. Which is why I wanted to give them the shout out today. With that, if you want to talk to us about any of the topics we talked about today, also, make sure you hit any of us up on Twitter. We love to hear from you. We love to hear about your emotional investments in TTRPGs. You know, are you invested? Are you not? Why not? What's the normal thing for you? Or for most people that for you is a little weird? You know, do you put mayo on everything? Do you not wear shorts? Who knows? And of course, I definitely want to hear about your favorite drunk fast food place because I'm a fatty and I love to eat. So I love to hear about other people eating. Do you guys have anything else to add today?
Well, I just really wanted to compliment you on the outro. It's like you've done this before.
Once or twice.
Just Bravo. A few times. I just want to thank you guys for having me on again. And this has been so much fun.
Yeah, it's great to have you on when it wasn't a drunken shit show.
That is a definitely infamous episode, and sounded like a crazy person.
Oh, God. At least you didn't tell E.T. to suck a dick, okay?
No, I just couldn't find a word to use.
I found too many words to use, so we really bounced each other out.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, it was a pleasure having you back, Maddie. You're a great guy. You know, I fucking love you. and happy to get you back on the show. You're actually our first returning guest.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a huge honor, and I really appreciate it. I know that you have a big backlog of people that want to, you know, come on, and I just appreciate you having me on again.
I appreciate you being here, buddy.
Hey, I love awesome. You guys.
Aw, love you too, Maddie.
Love you too, man.
So beautiful.
Love you, man.
All right. Well, with that, we are out. Go ahead.
Hey.